You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Since I've become a mediator as well, as I've done some reading in the area of emotional intelligence and
emotional intelligence,
your ability to self-assess, self-govern, and assess the emotions of others.
Well, didn't Paul say judge yourself?
Well,
is that what you're saying here?
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily judging. It's just awareness of yourself, having an awareness of,
like, why am I angry right now? Oh, anger is usually hurt or fear talking. Okay, what am I hurt about or what am I fearful of? Oh,
right. And it'll tell you also, you know, okay, one of the areas that, you know, with the personality disorders, there's certain, you know, so let's talk about a narcissist personality. That's something that people talk about a lot. And that's somebody who has a fear of being, not being respected, the narcissist. That's a generalization. So that's somebody who is going to be about lifting themselves up at the expense of others and being hurtful. You're in the presence of that person.
Is that why Trump picked some people? I believe he's brilliant as far as our economy. But why was he always picking on others, you know? Is that narcissism?
Well, I've heard it attributed to him. Yeah, I mean, I've heard people, you know, refer that.
I mean, I'd vote for him again, but he's if he could keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, and you got to wonder how much of it is to elicit a response. Because go back to the letter, the attorney letters you're talking about, okay?
Yeah.
That if I can invoke a fear response in someone.
Yes.
To my client's advantage.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Okay. So let's apply that sort of question to somebody like Trump. Is he that maladaptive, or is he trying to evoke a response in the media and others to take them out of their game?
Which he's done.
Right.
I mean, it was the first time this guy was elected.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't really get into him because they tell me at the station they don't want me to get involved in politics. Well,
right.
I understand because. Whether he's saved or not, he can be saved. I don't care who we're talking about. It's just like when I interview. I can interview a guy that's just killed 10 people in the prison. I'm there to serve him, and if possibly I can administer the saving grace of Jesus Christ to that person. I am a servant to all, no matter what the situation is. And even to him, I am his servant and foot washer, whoever it may be, Trump or anybody else, or the President of the United States, you know. But... I wanted to ask you this. Is it better to be feared? There's a famous writer. I don't know which one it was, but I saw this quote recently. It's better to be feared than loved. And my immediate reaction was, well, that's not in the kingdom of God, because God the Bible says it's your kindness that leads us to redemption.
Well, who's the author of fear?
Yeah, the dark side.
Yeah. Satan, Satan works in fear.
So for people that are on the dark side, they believe they do. Look at Stalin.
And what is the nature of God? Love.
Love.
So, yeah, I would say the
person
is wrong.
Letter of the law. In the end, do you think God's going to end up being more stern and severe with all of us, or is he going to be more merciful?
I think he's going to adhere to his word, to give you a lawyer's answer.
God help us. I don't know. Because, I come to know Jesus, and within 2 weeks, I stopped swearing. I went, what happened to me? I used to be able to, I was in my
20s. It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. But a year later, I thought I wanted to swear, but then I didn't. But then time after that, I decided I was going to swear. I knew I was going to swear. Then I did swear. And then, of course, I was sorry that I swore, but it was an act of commission instead of omission.
Well, we're not.
I've, of my own will, gone backwards in some ways.
We're still human. You know, in other words, we still carry...
Feet of clay.
Yeah. I mean, we still carry our sinful nature.
Yeah.
You know, I taught adult Bible fellowship classes for a period of time, and periodically on this sort of related topic, when we would get into these sort of topics, one of the things I'd point out to people, you know, because they're talking messing up, you know, this person or that person who'd done certain things to them. And I say, well, you know, do you not deny that we have a sinful nature? They say, of course not. No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we have a sinful nature, then what is the nature of the person, you know, even though they're a Christian, that's hurt you? Well, they're sinful just like you. So what does our sinful nature cause us to do? Our sinful nature causes us to say, do, think things that we shouldn't say, do, or think. Okay. Temptation, we're drawn to that potentially, and so forth. Well, we're not always going to hold up. So if our nature is to be drawn that way, then we're going to, if that's how you look at the burden that we're all carrying, you're going to be pleasantly surprised a lot more than you're going to be hurt. And the reason for that is, while I'm not going to treat people poorly because I'm expecting the worst from them, if I should understand the capability of the worst from them, then when they hurt me, it's more of an Ephesians 6:10 question, that this is the flesh reflecting what goes on in the spiritual realm that I'm not going to take personally. It's, you know, I don't know if I'm making sense. So in other words, if I'm expecting the worst of people, then I'm most likely going to be pleasantly surprised.
Oh, okay.
But I don't treat people that way. In other words, I know that I think, say, and do things that I shouldn't think, say, or do.
Sure.
Because I have a sinful nature.
Yeah.
So I have awareness of that. And if I have
an
awareness.
You cut in the pie and you give the biggest piece for yourself.
Right. So if I know that's the burden that we're all carrying.
Yeah.
Then it should buffer the hurts and should also buffer my ability to show you grace, just like I would hope you show me grace whenever I mess up. Because I'm going to.
So what does, so as an attorney for all these years, I suppose this has had a profound influence in the way you executed your career.
Yeah, and the way that, you know, back to Romans 8:28, I worked for after I left the prosecutor's office, I worked for a statewide firm for a period of time. Probably was not the best guy to work for. I was a little stressed and, you know, trying to perform for the firm and didn't mm-hmm. treat my secretaries very well. I had an opportunity to open up another office for a different statewide firm, uh-huh. which went very well for me. And for those, once I was in the position to start building an office where I needed people to come to work for me, I became aware of my shortcomings from before.
And realizing the value.
Exactly. And my weaknesses and how I was treating people.
I'm same as here.
And as a result of that experience, I was able to create.
We're here for business.
Was able. I didn't have any turnover with my new office. Everybody was happy to work there. I was tearful to leave. It was
Maybe you should write a little booklet. Everybody thinks they have to write books. How about a booklet?
A booklet.
On how I turned from being a not good boss to a better boss.
Oh, I could tell you some of the stuff that I would say to my secretaries that worked with me. It's like I cringed to think about during that stage in my career early on. And I was learning.
Jewish kid and a very successful attorney in Connecticut. And I remember one time he's a sweetheart of a guy. He believes in Jesus as a Jew, but. He was barking at his people terribly. And I always wondered, how can you, you know, no. But, no. You know, I think later on in life, and this is my big bent in life now, is to give others dignity. I wasn't getting, I was having a hard time with Noah a few years ago. I think, and I didn't know it was my fault. And then my friend David, who I hadn't seen in 30 years, came in here. He gets along and makes friends with him right away. I'm going, how did he do that? Well, it was I always thought I had to be the boss. I gotta be the boss. I gotta like the boss. Oh God, it's in charge. You know, instead of going, no, we're a team, and he's valid, and he knows things that I'll never know, and I probably know some things he'll never know.
Well, it's
dignity.
Dignity, and you touched on it earlier. You know, it's a servant mindset in leadership that we don't see very much frequently. That, you know. Wherever you are, more often than not, you're a leader to somebody. And if you take on that responsibility with an idea that I'm serving the organization, I'm serving those that work for me, I'm serving the clients, and that's my job, that's my responsibility, that's my calling, it's going to be very helpful and it will be transformative.
I can't believe an hour flew by with you. I mean, that flew by.
I was just looking. I was kind of surprised to see like a minute.
I took a breath, and we'd done an hour.
Right.
Paul, attorney at law, you just got elected. It's a non-paying job to the hospital here in Vero Beach, Florida. What do you see, though? What do you see for the rest of your life? I'm looking at you going, okay, I remember Lee Strobel, A Case for Christ. This is a guy who wanted to investigate and prove that Jesus wasn't real. And he proved to himself that Jesus was real and got gloriously born again. Is there a book in you? If you could write, if you have a canvas now, what do you want to do? Do you know yet? Is there?
Well, I want to execute well that which God puts in front of me when he puts it in front of me. So right now it's the hospital district, and there's some compelling things that need to be done there.
Sure.
After that, it's, you know, where I want to be receptive. I think I have a skill set and giftedness to help others and
You've
to work.
Cultivated
and
your mind.
I want to be able to use that. Back to the leadership and the Solomon's Prayer. We all would do well to read Solomon's Prayer in any instance of leadership.
Solomon's Prayer.
When he was
prayed for wisdom.
He prayed for wisdom and discernment. And I have it written right here.
What you have it written down? What he said?
Oh, it didn't. There we go.
Yeah.
Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?
Now, I'd like you to text it to me. This is ironic. Just 2 days ago, I was praying to the Lord because I see some people that they just seem to be able to get funding for whatever their projects are. They seem to be, they just prosper so quickly. And I'm like, I guess I'm not very intelligent, you know? And so I started to pray for intellect when suddenly I realized, you know, a lot of people that are intellectual, right? And they're miserable. So I said, yeah, I should do what Solomon did. Wisdom is far better than intellect.
Well, it's an under, and it's just not knowledge. It's both. I mean, you're right. It's an understanding mind. That is a mind that thinks and understands. So when you look at a system, you look at an issue, you look at a situation, you have a depth of understanding. And then the next is the discernment in order to understand good and bad, evil, and evaluate.
So pray for wisdom, folks.
Amen.
Pray for wisdom. So, Attorney Paul Westcott, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for doing the good you're doing in our community. And I hope you'll come back again soon.
Absolutely. I'd like to do an hour on governance.
I would love that.
The Bible on topics of governance and understanding.
Great.
Our Constitution and so forth. Love to do that.
Great. Let's do it.
Done. Amen.
Okay.
Will do. Thanks.
Hey, it's a new day if you want it to be. I'm Rhett Palmer.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.